Shall we go ahead and start?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, well, let me, before we pray for the meeting, let me kind of bring you up date on what I would call is my my interesting experience with my wife. On Friday, St. Simeon sent Barbara to St. Francis to have a blood clot dealt with. And I met her there on Friday evening and was with her till about 1:30, oh, maybe 2 in the morning. And they moved her upstairs to where they're going to begin this drip to deal with the blood clot. Well, I went home, woke up about 5, went back at about 5:15, 5:30. I'm only 5 minutes from St. Hospital. And I get my badge and I go up there and this nurse meets me on the 4th floor. She says, yeah, I know where Barbara is. Come on. And we just walk down chatting together and she opens the door to this room and I walk in and this woman has a full face mask on, but she has the kind of silver hair that Barbara does. So I assume it's my wife. Well, I asked the nurse, I said, did they put the drip on? And she says, no, as I look at this, they couldn't because they're going to have to do open heart surgery and give her a pacemaker. And I said, what? I didn't hear any of that. So I began to pray. I emailed some of you people who were kind enough to join me in prayer for Barbara. All unexpected. We didn't even know if they were going to be able to do the blood clot, blah, blah. So about 8 o'clock, they come in and they turn the lights on, open the window shades because it was very dark. And this person, whom I thought was my wife, is beginning to cough. So they're going to change the mask. They pull the mask off. It's not Barbara. Ah! It's not my wife. Oh. I said, oh, my gosh, where is she? And the nurse says, oh, I'm sorry. I'll show you. So she walks me down four rooms, and there's my wife. And she says, honey, I saw you, I thought, a couple hours ago, but I was so tired, I fell asleep. So I went and I hug and kiss her. She said, where have you been? And I said, honey, with another woman. I felt like an idiot, I tell you.
Well, the nurse.
Remember, no coincidences. That woman needed prayer.
Yeah. I think you're probably right. So I'm glad that people did pray for her. But anyway, they had started the drip with Barbara, and then they gave her a shot later that morning, and Saturday afternoon she was back at St. Simeon's, and she's doing very well.
Okay.
And I'm very excited and humbled by my experience. Boy, did I... You don't know, you cannot imagine when they pulled that mask off that woman and turned on the lights. I said, I'm glad I didn't greet her. You know, start hugging and kissing her. Good grief. Oh, man.
You might have wakened her.
Okay.
Happy, man.
Yeah. Oh, Lord.
You might mention about Donna Mobley.
Please do, would you?
Yeah.
Yeah, she passed. You sent me an email. When we had lunch, yeah. She was ill, and she passed away.
Right.
Donna Mobley, yes. Yeah,
she was in the hospital about 3 weeks ago with an intestinal infection.
Oh.
And she's a kidney transplant patient, so her immune system is not very good.
No.
She never really fully recovered from that, and she was quite weak. She was mainly spending time in bed. We talked to her last Wednesday or Thursday, and she just told us she just felt weak. And Saturday morning, we saw Doug in the hall, and he said pretty much the same thing. And then Monday morning, Lisa, their oldest daughter, called me and said that she was in ICU at St. Francis.
Right.
So what happened was she got really worse on Saturday, went into a coma, and they took her to St. Francis. They had to put an endotracheal tube on and put her in a ventilator.
Oh, wow.
And so they notified the family, and it was, you know, they have three girls. One girl was at her son's wedding in California. The other had her family in Florida, and the other was in Scottsdale. And last week, when she was still alert, Donna told Doug, said, you know, I'm just tired of this. I've been sick a long time. I'm ready to go home to be with Jesus. So don't do anything heroic.
Yes.
Let me go. And so they were just waiting for the family to get together. The girls all got there yesterday afternoon. And so they pulled the ventilator and let her go home to be with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
God, it's amazing. Lord, I'm just grateful. We were talking a bit yesterday, and I think if I'm in those situations, I don't want people pumping me to keep me alive.
Oh,
I'm
no.
I'm ready to go.
Amen.
I'm ready to go.
Amen.
Bless the Lord. Anything anybody would like to share before I get into some of the things I'd like to talk about today?
Reba got out of rehab and came home yesterday, and she's doing pretty well.
Great, great.
Wow. She's an amazing lady.
She is.
Well, now, what is she? Is she 90 something?
She'll be 94 in November.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Bless her soul. And what was the problem, Donna?
She didn't have her gallbladder out.
That's right.
And while they were in there, she doesn't know this yet, but they found a lesion on her pancreas. So they're wanting to have her. They'll take her to the doctor Friday, and they're wanting her to have an MRI or a CAT scan or something on that. I don't think she could do anything, radiation and chemo and all that, you know, if it's something. So I wish they wouldn't have even told us.
Yeah. Well, we'll keep her in prayer, Donna.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Thank you.
Well, please keep my grandson Jonathan in prayer. He's still a mess.
Okay, we will, Helen.
He's turned 18, and that's in his book, that's licensed to do anything he wants to do.
Anything, and not the truth.
No.
And
Lord.
Gotten back into harder drugs, and I told Martha maybe that'll just make him hit the bottom sooner.
Bless his soul. Yeah, I hear you. I heard a scripture this morning that just resounded through me, and I was trying to look it up. So familiar. It says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And I've been thinking, my goodness, with all that's going on, you and I have got to be so centered in the kingdom of God. If we're centered anywhere else, we're in trouble. And I thought I was looking at an email that I got this morning. Some of you get emails from the guy, Wild at Heart.
Yeah.
And he was talking this morning about the kingdom of God. And I was thinking, it's about 3 minutes long. I'll not read it. But, you know, to be centered anywhere else but the kingdom of God just opens you up for all sorts of unnecessary angst and anxiety. Jesus said, you know, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And I have to be reminded of that because, golly, I have to be careful about the news I watch. Yeah. I mean, some of the things I see and the questions that are asked or not asked or
statements.
I shake my head and I say, is this the America I grew up in?
No.
It's just not. So anyway, this election coming up is very important, and I think we have a sacred honor to vote, so I hope we all do.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, where's my notes? I can almost read them. Almost. I want to pray. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you that we are your children, and that you're our Father. And that truly Father does know best, and that we perish for lack of knowledge when we seek the source of knowledge anywhere else but you, your Spirit, your Son Jesus, the Scripture, the Father God of us all. Father, we ask for that knowledge of your voice in our hearts and spirits. We pray that out of our innermost being will truly flow rivers of living water. You said that in John 7 before the Spirit was given, but it's been given now so we can receive and have you in our belly. Help us to live out of that resurrection life of the Lord Jesus. Help us to be good sheep who follow the shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
Amen.
I wanted to just take a few moments, not to review much of what we talked about last week. We're in 139th Psalm. And when we're in that particular psalm, I was praying last week, and all of us were together, that God would comfort us by opening our eyes, our ears, and our understanding. Because this 139th Psalm is stunning in terms of what it tells us God has made available to us. As you know, I love reading many different versions of Scripture. And I went back and was rereading the verses that we talked about last week. And I was back once again in the New Testament of the Passion. And I don't know if you have the same kind of problem I do. Sometimes when I read too quickly. I read over the words. I read them, but it's like I don't stop to let them sink in. Does that make any sense? It's just too quick.
Mm-hmm.
But just like the first verses in Psalm 139 from the Passion, Lord, you know everything there is to know about me. Really? Well, of course we know that. But what is the implications of that? You perceive every movement of my heart and soul. And you understand my every thought before it even enters my mind. Isn't that awesome? We were talking about this all last week. You are so intimately aware of me, Lord. You read my heart like an open book. And you know all the words I'm about to speak before I even start a sentence. Well, I was reading that again. I'm saying, Lord, we talked about that last week, and I believe you were with us and helping us realize how thoroughly you know us. Before the beginning began, before we were ever aware, you knew us. You knew when we were going to be born. You knew how long we were going to live. You knew when our last breath was going to take place. Even before it began, all of those things you knew. And I began to just think about this in this past week. And I went back then to another version, which is very familiar to us all. And it's in such small print. I have a real problem with it. I hope. But I was reading again from the Amplified. And the Amplified Bible, all it does is use additional words that the translators could have used in their translations. And I went back over these same verses I just read, and I want to read them to you from the Amplified. O Lord, you have searched me thoroughly and have known me. You know my down-sitting and my uprising. You understand my thought afar off. You sift and search out my path and my lying down, and you are acquainted with all my ways. For there's not a word in my tongue still unuttered, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You've beset me and shut me in behind and before, and you've laid your hand upon me. Your infinite knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high above me. I cannot reach it. Where could I go from your spirit? Or where could I flee from your presence? And I just was going over that again and reading it out of several other versions. And it was though the Lord was trying to say to me, son, do you realize how well I know you? And I'm thinking, well, of course, you're God, and I'm a people, you know. I've been going back over this. I don't know if it is impacting you like it does me, but he says that you've searched me and known me. When I sit down, you understand my thought. Before I speak, you know the thoughts in my heart. I'm thinking, wait a minute, wouldn't those be private? I mean, they're my thoughts, aren't they? Yes, but he knows them before we think them or as we think them. How great thou art.
How great thou art.
How great thou art. I just have been stunned by this. And I went back and I began to read one of my favorite psalms. And it's one that we've been to many, many times over the years. This is the 23rd Psalm. And that psalm was so meaningful in my conversion a week, because I had to go to preach in three little churches. And the Lord said, no more writing sermons. I want you to share what I give you. And I was terrified. And I came to that last church, and I looked out at those people, and I said, you know, they're going to think this guy is just an idiot. And I sat there, and I cried out. I said, Lord, what am I going to say to them? I think I'm just going to have to say, I have nothing to say. God bless you all. Let's go home and have Sunday dinner. That's kind of where I was. And the Lord said, I want you to read the 23rd Psalm. And over the years, God has been trying to teach me how to listen to him before my own good ideas. Mm-hmm. And I went back this morning and I was praying. And I said, Lord, I would like to go through the 139th Psalm all over again. I don't think that I, or maybe my brothers and sisters, we're impacted the way you wanted to know how well you know us. And you know what we need before we ask. You know our thoughts before we even verbalize them. You know us thoroughly, outward, inward, everything about us. You know our weaknesses. You know our strengths. You know everything about us. And I went back to that first verse in the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And I was just again reawakened this morning in tears saying, oh God, I remember the first time I heard that by your spirit. I'd read it on applicades, and I'd seen it up on walls and in churches and said it many times, but it's like I'd never heard it. Mm-hmm. The Lord is my shepherd. And I began to ask questions that morning with my congregation there in Illinois. What's a shepherd? What does a shepherd do? Well, a shepherd is the source of everything that sheep have. Sheep are not known to be able to take care of them. One little fox or wolf can just mess up a whole flock. Everything they need is in the shepherd. And he's a good shepherd. He knows the need of the sheep, and he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Have you ever wondered about the things that you want and need and prayed about them? I think you have, haven't you?
Sure.
You said, Lord, this is a need in my life, or this is something I don't understand and need to know. And Jesus tells us and teaches us to ask and to seek and to knock. And as we've said so many times and you're familiar, those are continuing verbs. Ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. If you do, if you continue to ask, you'll receive. You continue to knock, the door will be open. If you continue to seek, you will find. So that asking, seeking, and knocking, God knows about in our hearts and desires to fulfill them if we will but open our hearts and be humble enough to ask, to seek, and to knock. And going back over this 23rd Psalm, many believe it's the most popular Psalm of all of them, and perhaps it is. And going through it, I was saying, I didn't know I needed to lie down in green pastures. What is it about green pastures? What's a green pasture? Well, if I was a sheep, it's a place I eat. Yes, go ahead. Oh, I thought somebody was going to help me there.
A bread basket.
A bread basket. Yes, that's exactly what it is.
Not but safe.
Yes.
If the shepherd is there, it's safe. When I hear lie down in green pastures, you don't lie down unless you think it's safe, do you, Tom?
That's exactly right. So the shepherd knows what I need. You remember Jesus in the prayer that we pray so often, he says, give us this day our daily bread. And I've gone back on many occasions in the last year and just and said to myself as I'm talking to you what Jesus prefaced that prayer with. Your Heavenly Father already knows what you need before you ask him. Therefore, in other words, because he already knows, pray like this. Our what?
Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us our daily bread. Because we seek first the kingdom of God, then God knows in that search what we need, and he gives us that daily bread. That's what he's talking about here to the psalmist. He's saying, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Father knows what we need. Father knows you and I. And going back over that 139th Psalm all this week, over and over in every version of scripture I could find, I would read it and say, I read the words, Lord, and I've not let it impact me. And I wonder if some of my brothers and sisters who are part of this Zoom and others that I meet with and have talked with, if they haven't just kind of read past it as I have. He knows me. He knows exactly what I need. So since he knows what I need, what should my prayer be but the Lord is my shepherd? If he's my shepherd and he's the one who is the source of meeting all of my needs, known and unknown, seen and unseen, why would I pour out all of the things I think I need before I first come to him and say, Father, you know my need? Have any of you experienced that little experience of he wants to hear, he wants us to ask and seek and knock and keep on? He's not anti that, but he wants it prefaced by the daily bread he wants to give us first. I don't know. Am I just using words that don't make sense? You understand what I'm trying to communicate?
Yeah.
How important it is to say, Father, what's on your heart?
Right.
Before I tell him what's on mine.
Right.
Anybody else experienced anything like this?
Yes. No, that's right. In the daily bread, what Jesus said, my bread is every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So
yes.
That's what you were supposed to get first.
Word in the morning.
Absolutely. And where would we find those, Al?
By listening to the Lord.
Amen. That verse that set me free from a kind of worship of scripture, John 5:39 and 40. You search the scriptures, For in them you hope to find eternal life, but it is they that bear witness of me, yet you refuse to come to me that you might have life. And in that devotional today of John Eldridge's, he talks about the difficulty and the hardships that religion and religious people have brought upon the body of Christ for that very reason, that Jesus becomes the servant of the scripture rather than the scripture his servant. Right. So when I come to him in this situation, after he begins to speak, and he'll begin to show me a text, and it's when he shows me a text and I believe the text that God does it.
Right.
And it's so different. I've mentioned so many times, forgive the constancy of it, but when I was praying for our son who died, every text about healing, it's the children's bread, with his stripes I'm healed, and it didn't work. And I was so angry at God. I've told you the things I said. I thought he was going to kill me. And then I shut up and waited for him to kill me now. And out of my belly came this: though he slay me, I will love him.
Trust him.
And I cannot tell you the reasons why, but it filled my belly and my life with life. I was no longer afraid and mad because my son had died. God was bigger than the death of my son. God has a purpose bigger than the purpose I had in that situation. But as the father of this child that had been born, he was foremost before the Lord. Can you hear? My concern was him before. Father, what's your spirit saying in this situation? And that's the way I'm trying to learn again how to pray by the Spirit, so that what the Spirit gives me, the scripture, the text, may not all think I, maybe what I think I need, but he shows me that it is. I told you what happened when I went up to see Barbara. I wanted to tell her, oh my gosh, he said this, and she turns to me, she said, honey, though he slay me, I will trust him. And we sat there like two little babies and cried. We cried for the loss of our son, but we thanked God for his presence, bigger than the life of my son, bigger than the need of father and mother for their child. Do you understand? The emphasis changes.
Yes, absolutely.
We speak first the kingdom of God. Anybody go ahead. Oh, I thought somebody was wanting to speak. Okay. I lost my train. Where's my lost train, Lord? Anyway, I've come to realize that he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still or quiet waters. In reading about shepherding years and years ago, there was a guy who wrote a book who was from New Zealand, who'd been a shepherd.
Yes.
Pardon me?
Yes. The 23rd, something about the 23rd Psalm, yes.
Shepherd. Yes.
Shepherd. His name was Keller.
That's Keller. Right.
Keller.
That's
Keller.
Right.
Keller.
Thank yeah. you. And he said, quiet waters, he said, because sheep, that if they didn't get quiet waters, the shepherd would go in and he would sort of block off area with stones. So it was a quiet pool, because sheep, if they went into rushing water and turned over, they could drown in 6 inches of water.
Yeah. Yeah.
But if they fell over in a little pool, they could stand back up and not drown. So he said, when he talks about lie down in green pastures where you get your food and then you need your water, it's got to be quiet waters, quiet waters, or if it's too fast, it will kill you. Just little things like that. God knows you and I so intimately. And I'm learning more and more to be patient in my praying. I think one of the things I'm having to learn, and I've heard some of you say this, I've got to be so careful about what news I watch anymore.
Sure.
I got so mad at some of the stuff I heard, and then it's like I shut the thing off and I'm sitting there, and then the Lord begins to speak. He says, son, did you really need that? Is that really helping you come into kingdom activity and thought and life? Well, but Lord, did you? Yes, I heard. I knew all about it. But will you please give yourself to seeking the kingdom? Let me give you some green grass to eat. And he'll lead me back to scripture, like the 139th Psalm I've read. It must be 24 times in every version of the Bible I can find in the past weeks, because I'm stunned at what it says. I was reading out of the Passion again, and he says this after the verses I read earlier. You've gone into my future to prepare the way. And in kindness, you follow behind me to spare me from the harm of my past. Harm of my past. That's my trying to figure out the will of God rather than going to the God who is the will, who will speak to my spirit and teach me to be like a sheep, dependent upon the shepherd. Right. The Lord is my shepherd. Dear brothers and sisters, I look at all of these pictures of you, and you bring smiles to their face. Who's your shepherd? What's his name? His name's Jesus, guys. He said he knows all about you. He knows what you need before you even ask. And I cannot tell you how foolish I felt when they took that mask off that woman, and it wasn't my wife. I felt, well, Tom, you sure got the gift of insight, don't you? But the Lord said, I knew all about all that, but don't worry about it. That woman needed prayer too.
Yeah.
All right.
You're there for a reason.
For a reason. With your hand of love upon my life, you impart a blessing to me. This is just too wonderful, deep, and incomprehensible. Your understanding of me brings me wonder and strength. I don't know how to pray as I ought.
Right.
I don't know how. Well, how do I learn? I go to the Lord Shepherd. Oh, my other Bible on my other knee just fell to the ground. Excuse me. That's my Bible. I don't want my Bible.
It's these electronic Bibles. You can just change Bibles by a tap, you know?
Yes, I know that. I just don't like.
That's
like
not the same.
But anyway, going back over this, and I think it's too deep and too incomprehensible. So God is not asking me to understand him as much as to believe and trust him. I look at these pictures and I go back, and forgive me if I pick on you, Sue, but I see your face there. And I think of over the years how many times I've heard Sue say, it's all by faith. And I want to say, don't you have another theology? You know? but she's absolutely right. We understand and know God and hear God by faith. If I'm seeking understanding first, it is a meaningless pursuit.
Right.
I'm telling you, it'll drive you up the wall. I've got to know. Right. And what I understood was that God doesn't want to withhold knowledge. He doesn't want to withhold understanding. He just wants it in the right order. Mm-hmm. Because if it's not in the right order, who do I end up trusting? Mm-hmm. Moi. Mm-hmm. I've got the great insights. No. He says, you know me, and as you know me, and I'll read it again on Passion, it's too wonderful, deep, and incomprehensible. What does that word mean? You don't understand it, but you receive it. That's why, excuse me, Sue, to pick on you, but it's so true. By faith, we know, and that's a gift of God. Where did I get the faith? I got the faith from God, because he knew the only way to ever know him was if he made a way, an entrance into his person. Right, and he gives me faith.
Right.
Will you trust me?
Right.
Oh, glory to God. Mm-hmm. I was thinking yesterday with Al and Jan, that's before we knew about Donna passing to be with the Lord. But I loved her attitude. Just, will you not turn the machine off? I know where I'm going. Right. I know where I'm going. I just think more and more that that religion can try to make us understand the ways of God so that we can predict the future. And that's just not the way it works. Mm-hmm. The way it works is God says, I am your past, your present, and your future.
Right.
Everything in me. So seek first the kingdom of God. I want to read a couple more verses out of the classic Passion. Your understanding of me brings me wonder and strength. And then he asks these questions, two questions in the next verse. Where could I go from your spirit? See, when I begin to understand that it is God's spirit alone that gives me understanding and life and purpose and meaning in death and life and whatever is to come, then the second question, oh, where could I run and hide from your face? There's no place to go. Stop looking for another place. And I began to realize, because I love theology, and theology is not sin. I don't mean to imply that. Sometimes I think I've used it as almost sin. But theology is not evil. It's that it must come from the Spirit, or all it is becomes religion. And look what religion does. It destroys, it hurts, it puts people in binds.
Right.
And he's saying here, where am I going to run from your spirit? Where can I run and hide from your face? Then he begins to answer the obvious questions. If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go into the realm of the dead, you're there too. If I fly with wings into the shining dawn, you're there. If I fly into the radiant sunset, you're there waiting. Wherever I go, your hand will guide me. Your strength will empower me. It's impossible to disappear from you. Do you realize how much simpler Christian life would be if when we were born again, I'd been led more to that life in the spirit, that the charismatic, quote, revival claimed, but wasn't long before it began to claim, just like the evangelical cycle did. You've got to have all these theologies down, and you got to know this. Nobody came and talked to me. It wasn't until I heard a guy by the name of Tommy Tyson. He talked about, you've got to know God. Not know about him, know him. And that's what Jesus has made possible by faith. And if you will say in that simple place of faith and not begin to somehow think that you can know God apart from his giving of his life by faith to you, you're going to end up a religious, what was it, the guy that wrote the My Utmost for His Highest? You become a religious twit. I think that's the word he used.
Brig.
Go ahead.
Brig.
What?
I'm just saying Oswald Chambers wrote that.
Religious Brig. Right.
Brig, yes.
Yeah. So he says, wherever I go, your hand will guide me. Your strength will empower me. It's impossible to disappear from you or to ask the darkness to hide me. For your presence is everywhere. bringing light into my night. There is no such thing as darkness with you. The night you use as bright as day. There's no difference between the two. I want to go back down to the 23rd Psalm and just read it simply. He leads me beside quiet waters. In other words, a place where I can drink deeply of his spirit. Out of our innermost being will flow rivers of living water. How many times have you and I over the years listened to this story? I'll just read it to you. You'll know exactly the moment I start. There came a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus said, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman therefore said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask me for a drink since I'm a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." And Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." She said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? You're not greater than our father Jacob, are you, who gave us the well and drank of it himself and his sons and his cattle?" And Jesus answered and said, "Everyone who drinks of this water shall thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." A Samaritan woman. And the woman said, "Sir, give me this water, so I'll not be thirsty nor come all the way here to draw." She doesn't get it, does she? The same way you and I don't get it at the beginning either. Because she was depending upon all she knew about wells and waters and drink and thirst. All she knew was incomplete. It wasn't enough. Everything we think we know is never enough without the water of God by faith. And then he goes on and he says, go call your husband and come here. Now, why is Jesus telling her this? He's wanting to get her attention that he is aware of something about her she doesn't know that he knows. And she says, the woman answered, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You've said well, I have no husband. For you've had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. This you said truly." And the woman said, "Sir, I perceive you are a prophet." Something's beginning to open up in her. But where's the initiative coming from? It's coming from Jesus. It's coming from the well of water. Everything he speaks and says, as Al referred to in the temptation of Jesus, he said, "Give me of your word to eat." When Jesus says it, when the Spirit says it, it has life. When I say it because I think it's good or appropriate or theologically sound, it is correct, but it has no life. Do you hear the difference? Let me read on now. The woman said to her, "Prophet, our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you people say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship." And Jesus said, "Woman, believe me, an hour is coming when neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. You worship that which you do not know. We worship that which we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But an hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and truth. For such people the Father seeks to be his worshipers. God is spirit. And those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." Can't we put ourselves in that woman's place? Mm-hmm. she goes on to say, I know the Messiah is coming. He's called the Christ. When that one comes, he'll declare all things to us. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he.
Wow.
I remember the day in my life, and so would you, I could go right around this room, when you just said, excuse me for picking on poor Al and Jan, but I remember Al, you know, almost praying for his wife, bless her soul, she's gone off the religious limit. And he sees her slain in the spirit. He just thinks, you know, she really needs help. We'll take her to a psychiatrist or something. Until what? Until what, Al? God spoke the same thing into you that he's spoken into Jan.
Right, right.
Everything must come from the Father by the Spirit through faith. It's the basis of life. That's the only way you can seek the first kingdom of God. That's why I go back to the beginning of the sermon on up. Blessed are the humble. Blessed are those who are needy. The faith of God keeps you needy and in the right place. Well, you don't run off and, well, I know this and I'm sorry you guys don't know this, but I died this, blah, blah, blah. No, there's a humility that God gives us. In this story, he says, his disciples came and they marveled that he'd been speaking with a woman, yet no one said, what do you seek and why do you speak to her? So the woman left her water pot and went into the city and said to the men, come, see a man who told me all the things that I've done. Is this Christ, is it? They went out of the city and were coming to him. In the meanwhile, the disciples were requesting him, saying, Rabbi, eat. But he said to them, listen to this. I have food to eat that you do not know about. His disciples. The disciples therefore were saying to one another, no one brought him anything to eat. They don't get it either, do they?
No,
they are as dead to him as the woman at the well is. And they're disciples. And they said, no one brought him anything to eat. And Jesus said, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. Do you not say there are 4 months and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They're white unto harvest. Already he who reaps is receiving wages and gathering fruit for life eternal. And he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this case, the same's true. One sows and another reaps. I said you to reap that for which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you've entered into their labor. Everything that we have and know as a Christian comes by simple faith. And there's a tendency somehow the end came to me. I'm not saying that my experience is yours, but I think it's similar. I began to know a Christian. I began to think, gee, I'm getting to know a lot of stuff here. And I began to think, well, I know. I don't even have to talk to God about this. I now know the scriptures.
Oh.
And it goes on. And from that, the city of the Samaritans believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified. He told me things that I have done. That's what Jesus did with me. And I think he did with you. I was lost. He found me. I didn't even know I was lost until he came and said, you're lost. Who, me? So when the Samaritans came to him, they were asking him to stay with him, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. And they were saying to the woman, it's no longer because of what you've said that we believe. For we've heard for ourselves. Know that this one is indeed the Savior of the world. I think more and more in this day and age, I sense the Spirit bringing me back to childlikeness, not childishness. There's a difference. Childlikeness. Childlikeness, Jesus said, unless we become as little children, we can't even enter the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. Always we enter childlikeness. Mm-hmm. Childlikeness is what leads to true maturity. Blessed are the humble, for they shall receive the kingdom of God. Again, I go back to the Sermon on the Mount in that first verse. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who don't think they know it all. Blessed are those who mourn. Mourn for what? When the Spirit of God begins to show me my lostness. I mourn. I found myself singing children's songs. My Jesus, I love thee.
Yeah.
I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior thou art. If ever I love thee, Lord Jesus, it's now.
Okay, thanks.
Jesus loves me. I don't sing that verse the way it's written. I sing it this way. Jesus loves me, this I know, because Jesus told me so.
Well, he is the Word.
Yes.
Yeah.
What does it say?
I said, he is the Word.
Amen.
He told him. He spoke it.
Oh, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and without the Word was not anything made that was made. The Word is a person, and his name is Jesus. I was reading the introduction today, because I've been reading through the New Testament. I'd finished 2 Corinthians and into Galatians. And these Galatians, you know, I mean, they are a mess. They have no New Testament or Jewish background. And they know Christ. They meet Jesus. They don't even know the prophets. They don't even know there were prophets. They don't even know there's an Old Testament. Most of the Galatians are ignorant. They cannot read and write. And yet they know Jesus. Can any story be more simple than that? It isn't wisdom that brings us to Jesus. It's Jesus by his Spirit that brings us to him, creates that hunger and need in us that nothing fulfills. Except Jesus. So Jesus loves me because he told me so.
Yes.
Jesus told me. I look at across these pictures. You know, I think of the times that you and I and others have just had together. Maybe it's lunch or dinner or a cup of coffee or a meeting. You know what church is? When two or more gather together in his name. It's not a building. It's not a denomination. It's not a theology. It's a meeting in Jesus. Two people. That's all it takes. That's all it takes. Father, I want to thank you as I look at these faces, and they remind me of other faces that each of us has known. Brothers and sisters that we have walked with. People that have picked us up when we've fallen down. People who have forgiven us when we got off the wrong track. People who showed us the simple way of childlikeness back to you. Thank you, Jesus, that you know us so well. There's no path that we could ever take, no thought we could ever have. No place we could ever go that you don't already know about before it comes to pass. You know us so thoroughly and completely. I want to pray the last prayer of Psalm 139 as we close today. I'm going to pick it up in verse 17 and 18. Every single moment you are thinking of me. How precious and wonderful to consider that cherish me constantly in your every thought. Oh God, your desires toward me are more than the grains of sand on every shore. When I awake each morning, you're still with me. Oh God, come and slay those bloodthirsty, murderous men. For I cry out, depart from me, you wicked ones. See how they blaspheme your sacred name and lift up themselves against you, but all in vain. Every time I read that, I think of the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus said, they'll do wonders in my name, but they don't belong to me. Because they seek something other than the king and his kingdom. They seek their own justifications. They seek their own thing. It's all about me rather than him. So, Father, I just ask that your Holy Spirit will enable us to stay childlike, that we might grow to true adulthood in Christ, that we might fully be men and women of God who serve the King and his kingdom and seek it first every single day. In Jesus' name. Amen. Anything anybody would like to say or pray?
Joyce,
I would like to pray for Helen's grandson.
Yes.
And this is a short prayer, but I pray that this young man with spirit eyes sees who he is serving. And it scares the living daylights out of him. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. That's a good revelation. Where shall I go? I'm scared to death. Good. Maybe you're scared enough to find life, or for life to find you.
Joyce Meyer last night was talking
about. Go ahead.
She was talking about her great grandson
and
the simplicity of prayer.
Yes.
We tend to make prayer a big wing-ding and use big words and eloquent phrases. And her daughter was in bed with a great deal of pain. And the little grandson went over and said, Jesus, mommy, owie, amen. And she was healed.
Oh,
wow.
I love that.
Four words.
Okay, let's sing it. Oh Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds that thou hast made.
I see the stars.
I hear the roaring thunder. Thy power throughout the universe displays. Then sings my soul, my Savior died to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. When Christ shall come with shouts of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Oh, by the way, not that I've forgotten it. Thank you for the people who have given so generously. It is needed and it is thankfully given. May God honor you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anything anybody wants to say or pray?
Yeah, I've been falling a lot. So if you guys could keep me in your prayers, that would be great. I bounced my head off the concrete again.
Oh,
Friday. No. But I didn't hurt myself really badly. Didn't go to the hospital. But still, it was shocking.
Well, sure.
Yeah.
Jesus, you love Carrie more than we can put into words.
Yes, Lord.
We ask that you would, by your blessed spirit, minister to him in a way that he knows how deeply personal, intimate is his love, your love for him, and care. You will never leave him or desert him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.